Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
Here's something that might surprise you. It certainly surprised scientists. The world's freshwater lakes, streams, ponds, and swimming holes store and release immense amounts of climate-changing greenhouse gases, especially methane, which is one of the most potent. Scientists found a lot more of it than they expected and published their findings in Science magazine. John Downing is one of the co-authors of the article. He's a limnologist at Iowa State University in Ames. And Professor, welcome to Living on Earth.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk about this.
So what's a limnologist?
A limnologist is a scientist that studies inland waters, continental waters, lakes, ponds, rivers, and streams.
Well, for this study for science, you studied a lot of them.
I think it was 474, I think, is the number that we finally ended up with. A large number of systems across the world, but there are millions of lakes and ponds, and those are hopefully representative of them.
So what did you find? You were looking for what specifically?
So we were trying to see how much methane, a really important greenhouse gas, might be emitted by inland waters because it hadn't been included in really any global budget.
So where does the methane in freshwater bodies come from?
Basically decomposition of organic matter that flows into them or organic matter that's created within them.
So you found that freshwater bodies of water have a lot of methane stored in them and that they're releasing a lot of it. How much are we talking about here?
Well, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around the numbers because they're usually measured in things like petagrams, which is kind of an immense amount of material. But it's equivalent to about 25% of all the carbon that's taken up and sequestered by terrestrial environments worldwide.
And terrestrial environments as land environments of which these lakes and ponds are a part of.
Right. Global ecologists have sort of divided the world into three big chunks, and one of them is the ocean, another is the continents, and the other is the atmosphere. What we've been finding over the last 4 years or so is that when we consider the lakes, the wet part or the aquatic part of the continental mass.
So, Professor, how much of the world's surface is freshwater?
It looks to be about 2.8 to 3% right now. About 5 years ago, the estimate was about 1.5% of the land surface made up of lakes and ponds.
So how is it that we didn't know where, I guess, half the world's freshwater was before not too long ago?
A group of scientists and I working at the National Center for Ecological Analysis and Synthesis put together a lot of very exacting analyses of aerial and satellite photos and began to find that there were many more small systems, small lakes and ponds than anyone had suspected.
So to quote former President Bush, you misunderestimated these lakes.
Well, I didn't. I was pretty convinced that it would be there, as was David Basviken and Lars Tronvik and the other scientists who worked on this project. So what we've failed to do, really, was to consider a piece of that global budget.
When you talk about a global carbon budget, you're talking about the amount of carbon that's kind of stored and released.
That's right. And it's really important to know what all the major sources and sinks of carbon are. It's sort of equivalent to running your own household budget, calculating all your sources of income and expenses, and forgetting that the insurance company takes out an amount out of your account every month that's equal to 25% of your household income. Kind of a big mistake. Even a limnologist would know enough economics to make that work better.
So what happens now with this information? How does it help us or does it hurt us?
Well, I think it points up a few things. It makes me feel as if we really need to pay closer attention to these inland waters and what they're doing because they are so active in everything they do that the fact that they may be only 3% of the land area of the planet is less important than their great activity. So paying attention to inland waters is very important. And then I'd say if we've made this kind of an error here, what other pieces of this puzzle are missing? What else might we need to fill in? And we should be paying attention to environments that are highly carbon active, even though they may be small.
So good and bad things come from small packages.
Yeah, that's in fact true. I mean, they are small, but they're mighty. The little farm ponds of the world probably bury or sequester as much carbon every year as the world's oceans. And the lakes and sort of moderately sized water bodies of the Earth sequester four times the carbon that's buried by the ocean every year. So we have to look for not just big and obvious sources and sinks of carbon, but look at some of those that may be small but highly active.
Professor Downing, I was looking at your webpage, and you quote Thoreau.
Yeah, I've got it right in front of me. It's one of my favorites. It goes, "A lake is the landscape's most beautiful and expressive feature. It is Earth's eye, looking into which the beholder measures the depth of his own nature." Thoreau is a hero, of course, of mine, and as he is most ecologists.
It's Earth's eye, but I'm wondering now with your research if it's Earth's black eye.
Not at all. We shouldn't ever consider that lakes are bad. The rates that were measured by Bostviken and this crew of scientists from around the world, these rates of methane emission are natural and have been there a long time. Maybe if we have a black eye, it's because we haven't paid attention to some of the Earth's most carbon-active environments, and we need to be doing that.
Well, Professor Downey, it was a real pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Oh, what a pleasure for me to talk about this work. Thanks for asking me.
John Downing is a limnologist at Iowa State University in Ames. Just ahead, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've gone extinct? For an answer, stay tuned to Living on Earth.